All right. Join me in this responsive reading as we remember that he is indeed risen. Christ is risen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
He is risen indeed.
Jesus has come that we may have life and have it abundantly.
He is risen indeed.
If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. He was dead, but behold, he is alive forevermore.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Let's pray. Yes, praise, honor, glory be to you, our Lord Jesus Christ, victorious one, Savior, King of creation and our King. Now we praise you as the risen one, and we thank you that we can gather in your name to remember this great victory and to see what is your heart toward us, what is your love. May you be honored, and may you be honored especially by our hearts turned to you this morning and full of you. Praise be to you. Amen. We're going to read this morning from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 10 through 29. Kind of jumping into the middle of a resurrection story here. Mary has come to the tomb with two other women seeking Jesus, the dead Jesus, and finds the tomb empty. She goes and tells the disciples he's not there. Then she comes back. And we pick up the story here, verse 20. The disciples also went to the tomb, saw that it was empty. Peter and John, that is. The disciples went back to their homes, it says. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve,
but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." The word of our Lord's resurrection. So in that passage we read, Jesus meets one-on-one with Mary, and then he appears two times to the disciples in a locked room, and then he singles out Thomas and talks with Thomas the twin. There's no bright stage for these events. There's no spectacle to it. It's all subdued. It's intermittent. There are no special effects, but the universe has changed. The old has passed away. The new has come. People are coming alive. In Christ, we come alive. We enter into a new life. All of us have what might be called a resurrection thirst, a longing inside of us for newness, for resurrection in our own lives. If only I could take back the last 3 years, or the last 23 years, and start over again. I've heard those words spoken. If only I could break free. If only I could have a fresh start. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. I can do it. I can give you a fresh start, a new life." Skeptics would respond, "Sounds way too good to be true." Jesus answered, "I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Behold, I am making all things new," says Jesus. When Christ died, we died to our old selves. When Christ was raised, we were raised to newness of life. Newness of life, it's ours. It's mine, it's yours in Christ. It's ours to walk in. Romans 6:4 says that. Resurrection power, here's the reality, resurrection power can enter into you today. Newness of life can enter into you now. Walking in newness, that's our life. It's what he's appointed us to. It's not something that happens like a lightning bolt, a sudden burst of brilliance in the sky. It's more like a sunrise, gradually brightening. And the path we walk on is a path that gets brighter and brighter until the full day. I want to touch on four gifts that Jesus extends to us through the resurrection, through his resurrection. These are yours and mine in Christ Jesus, our risen Lord. The four I want to focus on are faith, resurrection faith, and resurrection peace, resurrection intimacy, and resurrection purpose. In that order, I think. Each one of those is a door for us to walk through. Resurrection faith, first of all. Through faith, we enter into a path of new life. And by faith, we continue in that path. Faith is a gift. By grace, you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. It's not by our straining and striving that we take hold of faith. It's not through our own exertion. It's a gift. It's not something we can manufacture from the inside. It's not something that we can spin out of ourselves the way a spider spins a web. Jesus imparts faith to us. We see it happening with Mary in this text. Jesus imparts faith also to the disciples and to Thomas in particular. Let's consider those examples. Consider Mary. Call her Doubting Mary. She was healed when Jesus was alive, she was healed by him. He cast out seven demons from her. She followed him around. She watched. She saw his miracles. She heard his teachings. She knew the promise. After 3 days, the Son of Man will rise again to life. She knew all those things. She had seen them, witnessed them. Given that background, wouldn't it be reasonable to expect that Mary, of all people, would respond in faith on that resurrection morning? But she comes to the tomb. She finds it empty. What does she say? She should have said, "It's true. It's happened, just as he said it would. I should never have doubted." Instead, to the disciples, she says, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've laid him." She's talking about a dead Jesus. With a word, one word, Jesus calls her to faith. And the word is her name, Mary. And she turns and she looks and her eyes are opened. That's when faith is born. "Rabboni," she says, "teacher," and she believes. Faith at last. In that moment, Jesus fills Mary's gaze. Her eyes are not on herself, not any longer. Her eyes are not on her surroundings. Think of it. She's not seeing Jesus alive, knowing it's him, and thinking in her heart, "Wow, what lovely bird song, what lighting, such perfect effects for this special moment of recognition I'm experiencing right now." Her eyes of faith are fixed on Jesus, fixed there. It's like viewing the majesty of a mountain, a great mountain, or a waterfall, or a sunset, or a tree even. Our eyes, when we look at those things, our eyes are fixed on a majesty outside of ourselves. That's what's happening with Mary here. It's the eyes of faith. Her eyes are fixed on him and full of him. So how do we get this gift of faith? We see it in Mary. We look at him, we listen to him. It's that simple. We look at him, we listen to him. We look at him not with physical eyes, we listen not with our physical ears, but it's a looking and a listening that brings us to faith and then exercises that faith. And as we look, God opens our eyes and he awakens our hearts. This is what happens when we first come to Jesus, the very first time, and we enter into life. It's through looking at him, listening to him. And it's what happens as we continue to walk with him. To walk in faith, we need to be looking at him, listening to him. See how it happens in this account of the disciples, Jesus appearing to them. He comes, and they doubt that it's him. We know that from Luke's account. And then Jesus shows them his wounds. And the wounds tell the story. The wounds tell the story of this Savior, the Messiah, who loves them and loved them enough to go to the cross bearing their sin and now has risen to new life. The wounds tell the story. And at that point, they believe. And it says they rejoice. They were glad. We must do the same. Look on Jesus. Look on his wounds. Always and ever again. Don't look at yourself. Don't consider, don't be preoccupied with your merits. Am I good enough? Have I done enough? Or with your faith, is it big enough? Or with your failures, are they too big? We walk in this new life the same way we enter. We keep looking at him. He has to fill our spiritual gaze. So eyes off self, stop saying I'm not worthy or my faith is so weak. Yes, you're unworthy. All of us are unworthy. Faith means we go to the worthy one who loves us and we look at him and we listen to him. This gift of faith is a door we walk through into newness of life. That's the gift of resurrection faith. The gift of resurrection peace comes with it. Jesus appears to his disciples twice in this chapter, and both times he greets them with peace to you. Peace be with you. That's really, really different from saying greetings or hey. There's substance and there's depth and there's power in that word, peace. Peace to you. And when he says it to them, it's a living picture. It's an enactment of the gospel itself, because Jesus is coming to these guilty men, these followers who became doubters and deniers and deserters, and he doesn't blast them. He blesses them. It's not what they deserve. He blesses them with peace. Peace in the sense of shalom, Hebrew shalom, the wellness that goes to the depths of our being and our lives. Flourishing, human flourishing that encompasses everything. Peace with God and with one another and within. That's what he is pronouncing upon them. It's a summons out of the storm within. And these disciples have been through a storm, and they've had a storm inside of them. But Jesus is summoning out of the storm. And for us, it's out of the storm inside of us of worry or anger or turmoil or fear, including the deepest fear, the final fear that we encounter, which is fear of death. At its deepest level, this peace that Jesus speaks is about his victory over death. And as a result of that, because of his victory, because of his rising from the dead, what had been for us the worst thing that could happen becomes for us the best thing. That's not to make light of death. Death is a darkness. It's a dark thing. But it is a dark door into light. And we know that now. If we are in him, if we have him and he has us, then for us, death, the worst thing, becomes that dark door into light. In his presence with him, in his love forever. The resurrected Jesus speaks peace to his people. He spoke peace to his disciples in that day. He speaks peace to his people in this day and in this moment. That's his word to you and to me. Peace be with you. He's still saying it. So walk through that door into his peace. A third gift is resurrection intimacy. We see this especially with Mary, also with the disciples, and especially Thomas. Mary, it turns out, is the first to see Jesus. She's the first to see the risen Jesus with her own eyes. And she's slow to recognize him. But consider again how Jesus reveals himself to her. He says her name, Mary. That says it. There's the gift of intimacy with Jesus, her Lord. It's encapsulated there in her name, which he says. His sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. What he's saying is, Mary, wake up. Mary, don't be afraid. Mary, I love you. He loves her, and he loves you and me with a love that is personal and intimate and forever. So the resurrection of Christ is a door into a new intimacy with our Lord, the God who made us and loves us. We can know the risen Lord, not just know about him, but know him. And that means we can talk with him, we can listen to him, we can sense his presence at any given point in time, including right now, here in this place. He is here. And we can draw on his strength at any moment. There's an intimacy there, the opportunity of intimacy, because he is alive. with the disciples in this story also. Jesus tells Mary, after he's revealed himself to her, he tells her, "Go to my brothers and tell them I'm ascending." Go to my brothers. Well, isn't that a surprising term to use? He could have said, "Go to those miserable deserters. I want to see them right now." Brothers speaks of a new closeness. It plays out in Christ's appearances to his men, to his disciples, as we read about them in the gospel accounts. And then it plays out, of course, after the ascension, on through eternity. They and we are brothers and sisters of the living Lord. And then Thomas. Thomas is the one who wasn't there the first time Jesus came and appeared to his men. And so he refused to believe, famously. And Jesus seeks him out, as we read. And what would you expect? A scolding. Is that what he gives? You might get the impression that Jesus is scolding Thomas, but not really. What he's doing is summoning this doubter to faith. These men were all doubters. Not one of them believed without seeing Jesus with his eyes. So Jesus now is giving personalized care and attention to the one who was missing the first time, Thomas. He's not going to get left out. He's reopening relationship at a deeper level with Thomas. So the resurrection opens the door to intimacy. And we see it with Mary, the disciples, with Thomas. New intimacy with the lover of your soul. And the question here is, have you walked through that door to intimacy with Christ, your Lord? Finally, the gift of resurrection purpose. I'll just touch on this. Jesus says to his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit." Verse 21 in John 20. He's giving them very clearly here a new purpose for their existence. And what he says tracks very closely with what he will say again just before he rises into heaven in Acts chapter 1, Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit." Without resurrection, without Christ's resurrection, there is no good news to share. But because of the resurrection, spiritually dead people are raised to life through the agency of human witnesses. That is a glory and a wonder, and it speaks of purpose for us who belong to him. New purpose, because he is alive. He sends us, he sends you to the people in your life who need Jesus. In rising from the dead, he gives us this purpose. "Even so, I am sending you." And I find it helpful to apply that in the present continuous progressive, whatever you want to call that tense in the English language. "I am sending you." He was doing so when he spoke those words, and he is sending us now. So those are four resurrection gifts: resurrection faith, resurrection peace, resurrection intimacy with our Lord, resurrection purpose. Receive them. Gifts are to be received, and they're right there on a platter in front of us or inside of us. Receive the gifts and keep on receiving them. Practice them, this faith and peace and intimacy and purpose. Again, faith, resurrection faith. Hear Jesus speak your name the way he spoke Mary. And listen to him and look at him. That is the door to faith. Look at his wounds and be believing and not unbelieving. walk in faith. Secondly, receive His peace. Let Jesus calm every storm of your soul. That's what He does. Thirdly, embrace His intimacy. So be talking with Him, since He's opened up that possibility, and that's His desire, and He's given you that desire. Talk with Him. We call it prayer. And pour out your heart to Him and listen to Him, especially through His Word that we have as a gift in a book. Sense His presence. Obey His voice. Embrace His intimacy. And then finally, run with His purpose. We are His sent ones. We're joined with Him in His great mission and with one another. Those are four gifts. There are other gifts associated with the resurrection, gifts that come to us because He has come to us and He is risen. There's resurrection joy, there's resurrection love, there's resurrection hope, and so much more that belongs to us because we worship a resurrected Jesus. God speaks. Let's hear it. Hear His voice even now in this moment. He says, "Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Am I expecting change? Are you expecting change in your life? Christ our Lord is risen today. Walk in newness of life. That's the message. Let's pray. Yes, praise be to You, our Lord alive. We thank You. You walked through that door, first the door of death, because of Your great love. And then the door of life. Glory to You. We thank You that You have set Your love upon us, proven it in the way that You did. We thank You for Your wounds. We thank You for bearing our sin and now for giving us life in You, new life. Glory. Amen.